Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, JoJo Palmaria and Saroma. And Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. And my ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I broadcast live, and the show is repeated on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I invite you now to join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. August was a very interesting month for me. I had to do some traveling, being the nomad that I am. And so my shows for August have kind of seeped over into September. And last week, I thought I was going to broadcast this show that I'm doing tonight, but Spirit had a different plan. And so I think I got in about maybe 15 minutes worth of my show, and then it just got cut off. So tonight I am going to make an attempt to complete the show I started last week, which comes under the theme that I had established for August, which is about deep change. And based on all of the natural and even some man-made disaster energy that is going on the planet right now, it makes sense that this theme carried over into September. So tonight, I'm going to be concluding this four-part series on deep change by talking about taking risk. Now, before I get started, I'd like you to know that in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast I'm doing right now and or call into my show at this number, which is 323-927-2913. Again, that's 323-927-2913. I also want you to know that the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or through Black Hole Radio's Facebook page, and a constant contact message that some of you may be getting, that serves as an archive link. So if you're unable to listen live, you can listen later. Each week here on Wisdom Walk, I always open up my show by honoring the ancestors. And tonight, I wanted to not just honor them, but I wanted to call out for help to them. We are living in a time where there is just so much going on to disrupt people's lives, from the hurricanes that don't seem to quit. I hear that there's Hurricane Maria that's out in the Caribbean now, threatening to do even more damage to Caribbean islands than what's already been done. There is, quote unquote, ethnic cleansing, which is a term I just really don't understand. But basically what's happening is people are being treated like they're disposable again. And this is happening over in Indonesia. And Myanmar is doing very horrible things to people who are practicing Islam. And so it's a really, really, really tight and tragic and a time full of grief. And it's the kind of time where we just need help, and not just help from what we can see and know, but we also need help from the ancestors. So I'm just going to take a moment to kind of call out to them and ask for this help, because there's no way we can figure all of this out on our own. So ancestors, 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 we are calling out to you because we are really living in a time where we think that through our technology and our increased access to information that we can rule the world and that we can figure everything out, but that's not the truth. And we've just had a reminder about that, just had a reminder that there are forces that go beyond our human knowing and intellect. And so there are many places on the planet right now where people have lost everything. They lost their homes. Some of them have lost family members. People have lost their jobs. People have lost things that really gave meaning and shape to their existence. And so there is so much help that is needed to help restore people to a sense of home, of security, of safety, of love. And we can't figure that out by ourselves. So we're calling out to you and we're asking you to help us, help us, help us. and to also open us up to receiving the help that we need, the more that we need, to have us not fool ourselves to thinking that we can figure this all out on our own. And so I say to you who can see in all directions, you who from problems here and not problems there in your land, you who has this understanding and ability that we don't yet have access to really come take hold of us, guide us, show us, teach us, love us, so that we're able to do what we need to do, both for ourselves personally and then what we need to do collectively as community. And ancestors, we thank you. We thank you for listening to our call, listening to our prayers. In the name of all that is holy, and I say amen. Ashea ho'asah, shingab isilah, so it is. And so there we have it. On September the 17th, 2017, a really significant time, calling out for help from the ancestors. Well, I feel like it's been a while since I've really been broadcasting live. Like I said, I was doing some traveling in August into September, and so was doing some repeat shows. So it feels really nice to be back broadcasting. And in my travels, I find myself this week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the home of a wonderful human being who works very hard to save the children. And Miss Carmen has opened her home to me, and she lives up in the clouds, so I get to look out and see the moon and the stars and the city laid at my feet. It's really, really fun. And also joining her tonight to be part of my audience is one of my medicine sisters, Cheryl, who's driven quite a ways and had done some wonderful healing work with water yesterday. And so she's also here up in the clouds with me as I'm doing this broadcasting from Milwaukee. So thank you both for being here and giving me audience. It's a rare opportunity for me when I'm doing this broadcast. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about taking risks, but I want to give you a little bit of the elemental wisdom and some astrological forecasts for the week we have coming up. Because I think, you know, somebody asked me recently, like, you know, Judge Paul, why do you do that? And one of the reasons I do it is because, to me, what is really going to help us navigate through all of the change that is going on in and around our lives right now is to be able to have self-knowledge and self-awareness. And what that really means is that we've got to stay conscious about what we're thinking, feeling, and believing about ourselves. And so to me, elemental wisdom and astrological forecast really supports the work in that. The elements from my wisdom keeping of African spirit medicine just really help us grow our understanding of what is happening around us and why it's happening. And astrological information really gives us some insight into how things are moving in the galaxy and in the heavens and what that energetic, how that energetic can impact us. I don't see astrology as kind of, you know, telling you like, okay, in, you know, 20 years you're going to die, you know. That's not its job to do that because it doesn't know. Even the wisest don't know. But what it does do, it helps you better understand maybe why something has occurred in your life at this time. Like what is it connected to in terms of what your purpose is and why you're here? And so I think it also helps us be able to discern between what is right for us, because we do live in such a copycat culture. You know, we all want what somebody else wants that seems to be the best thing instead of really focusing on what's really right for me. And so astrological information as well as elemental kind of helps us really look at, you know, what energetically is right for me. So starting with the elemental wisdom, because the first day of the year, January 1st, was on a Sunday, I consider an elemental week to be from Sunday through Saturday. So today, the 17th, through Saturday, the 23rd, we have entered into a fire week. And here's the opportunity. It's about embracing and practicing forgiveness. Oh, my goodness, how important that is right now. So about invoking the ancestors, as I just did, to help you forego being a martyr to past pain as you invite the grace of forgiveness to embrace you and remove what was never yours to keep. I'm going to repeat that because I think that is like really key to getting through this week. It's about letting go of being a martyr to past pain by inviting the grace of forgiveness. God, let me have some forgiveness here. And embracing that to remove what was never yours to keep. Got that? Okay. Because that's, you know, we always want to think that we're supposed to keep this stuff and we're not. So you want to ask and thank your God for enabling you to receive that grace of forgiveness for those who have hurt you, for those that you have hurt consciously or unconsciously. I suggest strongly that you prepare an ancestor plate at every meal, light a candle, and feed them with your intention to honor their existence and to receive their guidance, wisdom, and love. They want you to win, are committed to you not repeating their sorrows. You are their dream come true, and they want you to live your happy endings. So again, doing that ancestor plate can really help you stay conscious about the fact that we need this help right now. So here's some distractions to this week of embracing and practicing forgiveness. Wanting to be right about being a victim. You know, that's where it's like, oh, I'm not going to forgive that. I can't forgive that, you know. Or you would just let the shame and the blame really rule you. That's not okay. That's really not okay. Being a victim is never okay. Thinking you have to figure things out on your own, let that go, because what is happening right now and the way that it's happening is so much bigger than our human brains. I mean, we really can't wrap our heads around it. You know, when's the last time you've seen this many hurricanes coming through at this time of year? Like, I don't know. Nothing, I think, has been recorded. I don't think it's in the history books of when they started, you know, measuring the weather and keeping track of the weather that this has ever happened, you know. So this is, it's off the charts. It's off the charts, and we can't figure it out. Judgment and criticism of yourself and others, not a good use of your time and energy. Let it go. Stop thinking that by judging someone and criticizing them, you're going to change them. Because let me tell you, it doesn't work. I've tried really hard for a long time, and I can tell you it don't work. So a better use of your time is to forgive and bless and disconnect. Let it go and put that energy where it needs to be, which is, okay, what do I need my future to be? What can I learn from this situation? How can I improve? And last but not least, you want to stay away from taking on the problems of other people. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to put the focus outside of yourself when it really needs to be totally on yourself. So that's the elemental wisdom for this fire week coming up, a week of great transformation as we are in a fire year. It's always wonderful when those two come together. And so astrologically, this week we have a new moon in Virgo, and that will happen on September the 20th, this Wednesday. Now, the astrologer that I like to use for these forecasts, her name is Barbara Goldsmith, she says that earth and water energies predominate this week. So it's a week of earth and water. She says there are five planets in the sign of Virgo, which means this is a time to reconnect with our precious Mother Earth. Earth and water signs are feminine and softer energies, and boy, do we need that right now on this earth plane. She says it's about being receptive rather than proactive. I'll repeat that. It's about being receptive rather than proactive, which gets back to the elemental wisdom about stop trying to figure it out on your own. Just open up to receiving and learning, forgiving, letting go, letting come, all that good stuff. Another important thing about this week with this new moon, because, you know, new moons always signal a new beginning. And so she says Virgo is connected with healing, and this new moon brings opportunities for deep healing. So if there is something that really, you know, has been in the way, it's been a boulder to your happy endings, it's been a boulder to you moving forward, this week could be the week that it gets dismantled, transformed, transmuted, eliminated from your life. So really, really hold open to that. She also says that this week brings opportunities for transformational thinking and seeing your world from a completely new perspective. I really like that because we really need that right now. We can't continue to, you know, keep treating the times we're living in as if this were 100 years ago. It's not. We're really in the 21st century. It really is 2017. 3 years, it'll be 2020. And we need to catch up to the truth about the fact that the future is really here. Wow. And lastly, she says, and I'll read this, she says, with a huge amount of planetary activity coming up between now and 2020 in Capricorn, the sign of Capricorn, this is a time to slow down, to tune into the earth, to be in nature with animals, to live in the present moment. And I totally, totally agree. So there you have the astrological forecast, elemental wisdom to help you get through this fire week and this new moon in Virgo, a lovely sign of Virgo. Tonight, moving right along, I'm going to be talking about deep change and how taking risk is an important part of the experience of deep change. So here's the overview of what I'll talk about. First, I'm going to review a little bit about what I was talking in the first three shows, throwing out the clock, going within, and remembering the truth. And then I'm going to give you some examples of what I mean when I talk about taking risk, why that's important. And then I'm going to give you an example, a personal example from my nomadic adventure that I recently had, where I got just really solid and clear message about the importance and the power of risk-taking. And then last but not least, I'm going to give you a personal challenge, something that you can take on doing to help you move through the deep change that you may be going through right now. My opening quotes that I put on my notice for tonight's broadcast about deep change, one comes from Helen Keller from a book she wrote called Open Door, and she said, "Security is mostly a superstition. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." Wow, that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep, you know, because I think we so believe that, you know, when things are, you know, calm and quiet and normal, that, you know, we're living a good life. You know? And she's saying just the opposite. She's saying that's not life. And then Goethe, great genius from the Renaissance, says, "Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it.
I love that quote. I love that. I learned that one about 10 years ago, and it still just gives me little shivers when I read it because it's so wonderful. So, deep change. Deep change. Like I said, you know, we really are living in our future. It really has happened. But we've been so conditioned and so attached to the world as we have known it that we haven't been honoring. We haven't been honoring the fact that we really have moved on. And so deep change is what is really needed on this planet and by every individual, by groups of individuals, if we're going to catch up to where the universe has taken us. You know, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, Albert Einstein, like back in the 1920s, and I think it might have even been a little earlier than that. Well, definitely, you know, he was playing with this genius perspective much earlier than that, but it was definitely 1920s when he becomes a rock star because he puts out his theory of relativity. And he delves, too, into the quantum world, and him along with these other scientists, you know, begin to open the gateway, if you will, so that we can have cell phones and radio and television and digital movies and on and on and on. And so that technology, you know, has been around for quite some time, but we haven't really taken and fully integrated, you know, what that really means. Because what quantum physics and relativity really teaches us is that time and space can bend, can shift, that things come into being based on our attention. You know, this is like scientific proof that things that we see as hard matter really are made up mostly of space. And it's just so hard for us to really accept all of that, let alone integrate it. But it's time for us to start integrating that. It's time for us to really get that we are so powerful because what we think and what we believe will evidence itself in our lives. And so if we want to see things change, if we want to see something different, well, we've got to change our way of thinking, our way of believing, and our way of doing. Not sit up and point our fingers at what somebody else is doing or not doing. So deep change is about really taking this dive into our inner world, our inner landscape. I heard somebody call it the innerscape. That's really cute. But it's about really going in to discover, uncover, remember, reconnect with the power that we have to really create a world that we want. That it's not, you know, going to happen because of what somebody else is doing. It's going to happen because of what we're doing. And that each and every one of us individually has a part to play in making that happen. So in your life, if you have things that aren't working for you, relationships, living situations, work environments, whatever it is that has you feel
uncomfortable, unsure, not fulfilled, well, that can shift. That can all change. But you've got to step into deep change in order for that to happen. And the first thing you've got to do is throw out the clock. You know, deep change isn't about, okay, I'm going to make out this plan, and I'm going to follow this plan, and everything I want is going to show up because I'm following this plan. No, that's not deep change. Deep change is where you're actually surrendering to a greater order and direction. It's where you are aligning yourself with a unknowable, an unknowable energetic that wants to guide you to your joy and happiness. So you have to throw out the clock. You can't think that you're in charge of the timing, because it's going to happen, but the timing has to be right if it's really going to last and if it's really going to be real. So I talked about, you know, how attached we are to timing and what we think of time and how time should go and how man-made time really is. It's all made up. And so by saying throw out the clock, what I'm really saying is open up to guidance and direction from something that is much greater than your human intellect. And once you're able to throw out the clock, once you're able to accept that you're going to be on somebody else's timeline and somebody else who really knows what is right for you, that's when you can take the journey inside. That's when you can go in. But to go in, you got to get still. And I talked about the modern challenge with getting still. It's very, very difficult for us. It's so easy to just get distracted and not do the work of getting still. Because getting still is where you really have to pull yourself away from the television. You have to put your cell phone in another room with it completely turned off, no vibration, with it completely turned off. You know, it's where you really are going to disconnect from your normal activity. And you're going to be able to say, okay, let me get still and let me listen. Let me listen to myself. Let me listen to my internal self. It takes a lot of courage to do that. It really does. But it's the only way. It's the only way that you really can begin to participate in the process of getting to the deeper change. Because there are things that you need to become aware of so that you can actually support the change process. And those things can't come to you when you're sedating yourself or you're doing other addictive behaviors, whether it's socially or shopping or eating or whatever it is. You really have to get still and go in. And part of the process of going in, the big goal in it is to not just that you allow yourself to be still. The other big goal is that you are allowing yourself to remember your truth. And when I'm talking about the truth, I'm talking about the fact that you are a divine being, that you really come from that unknowable energy, that you really are stardust, you know. It's a proven fact now, scientifically, although ancient peoples knew this without math. They didn't need mathematics to know that we came from the stars, because they saw them when they were dropping out of the sky, you know. So we're star people, and what that means is that we really do have much more cosmic intelligence. We have much more ability to say no to fear and to choose to love than what we think. That we have much more of an understanding of what humanity is really all about
and that we really can get to a place where we understand there are no disposable people, and that we have to be inclusive with everyone and everything that we do on this planet, because we're really all in the same boat. So we can get to that. We can remember that we have the ability to do that. So once you throw out the clock, once you choose to go in, once you allow yourself to remember your divine truth, that's when you're ready to take the necessary risk for deep change. And here's something that we forget about, especially in this country. And you know, maybe we forget about it because it was so challenging and we're like taking a breath, like taking a break. Maybe our culture right now is about that, trying to take a break. But what I'm referring to, what I'm alluding to, is the fact that everyone's ancestors who came to this land, this great turtle island, as the American Indians call it, here to what we call Americas, the United States and South America, every one of them had to take a great risk and took it. Otherwise, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. Now, there were some who didn't have a decision about the risk that they had to take, but nonetheless, they took it. And they made it through, and they're here, and we're here. And I think we forget that in this culture. We really, at this point, we really, really do. But it's important that we remember that. It's important that you remember that in your DNA, you have this knowing about the importance of risk-taking, how essential that is, that you're not going to really get to the mountaintop without taking risk. It's as simple as that. It's just a part of living. It really, really is. And, you know, the risk-taking that I'm talking about in terms of the deep change, it's not life-threatening in the way that the journeys of our ancestors were. So it's not life-threatening, but it is life-enhancing. It's life-enhancing. So let me tell you a little story. Very recently, at the beginning of, end of August into the beginning of September, I had the opportunity with my medicine sister, Cheryl, to drive out to South Dakota to see the Crazy Horse Memorial. And if you don't know about that, please Google it, because it's really quite a powerful and important thing. In the wisdom that I keep, anything mineral has to do with remembering purpose, and the importance of that is so that we are able to choose love over fear more easily and effortlessly. From the Dagger of Wisdom, it said that the most dangerous person in the village is the person who doesn't know their purpose. That's the most dangerous person in the village. And so mineral things help us remember purpose. And so the Crazy Horse Memorial is a statue, and it's the largest sculpted statue on the planet. It's not finished yet, but it's of Chief Crazy Horse, and you get to, his horse's head will be shown, and he's pointing out west. He's pointing in the direction, in fact, of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, where he and his chiefs were very victorious over General Custer. So it's sometimes called Custer's Last Stand. But this memorial has a story about great risk. And it was some of the most important medicine that I got from being there in that very, very sacred land called the Black Hills.
And so this is a story. And this memorial gets sculpted. It starts to get sculpted in 1948. Can you imagine that? And the face doesn't get finished until 1998, I believe. So it's like, you know, like 50 years, you know, for the face to come into being. So there were five chiefs who survived the Battle of the Little Bighorn who were still alive in 1948. They had to be in their 70s or close to their 80s. And these five chiefs knew about Mount Rushmore being sculpted in the Black Hills, which, again, is like sacred. I mean, like sacred land to American Indians, especially Lakota Sioux. Sacred land. But here these faces of these white men are being put onto their mountain. So the chiefs take a huge risk by going to one of the white men who helped to sculpt Mount Rushmore. His first name is Korjak. Came from the East Coast and found his way out west and was working on Mount Rushmore. They take this huge risk and they go to him and they say, we need a memorial because it's important for white people and everybody to know that we have people who we are proud of as well. And since this is our sacred land, we want it on our sacred land. We want it on this mountain. And Korjak, when he hears this request, he takes a huge risk and he says yes. Now, if you can imagine, in 1948, there probably were no roads that even went out to where this mountain is. So he had to trek up to this place every day. And I think he built himself a little cabin with no running water on it eventually. But when he starts out, he just has a hammer and a chisel and a power drill that's hooked up to this old steam engine that is, of course, down on the ground, so he has to, like, you know, chug up the cord. And he talked about in the movies that they show about him doing this, how the steam engine would cut out, and he'd have to go all the way down these stairs and back up. I mean, it's just, like, crazy. But he had found his purpose, and so every day he would wake up, and he'd go up to that mountain with his hammer and his chisel, and he would work on this sculpture, on this memorial. He had about $174 in his pocket. He eventually is able to buy the property, which you can't imagine how, but he's never taken any government monies for this memorial. He's established a nonprofit organization. And, you know, very early on, he got married, and he and his wife had 10 children, 5 boys and 5 girls. And so today, this project continues under the guidance of 5 of his children and their children. I think some grandchildren are involved. And so Mr. Korjak died in the 80s, in the late 80s, so he never got to see the completion of the monument or even the completion of the face. But, and he knew that. He knew that when he was doing this. He knew that he would never see the completion. But it was purpose, and so he was able every day to go up to that mountain with that hammer and chisel and carve on a mountain. It's the most amazing thing. And so I share that story with you because, you know, when we're taking a risk, we have to do it from a place of not knowing. That's why we call it a risk. You know, we live in a culture where insurance is so important to us that, like right now, I'm looking out this window here in downtown Milwaukee, and the biggest building in Milwaukee right now was built by the insurance company. And they have this whole complex, you know. It's, like, amazing. Can you imagine that? It's the insurance company that has the biggest building and the biggest complex in the downtown of Milwaukee.
Why is that? Well, we really believe that insurance will save us from loss. Of course, that's, you know, it's like what Helen Keller said. It's an illusion, you know. It's a superstition. She went even worse than what I am. She's saying it's a superstition. I'm saying it's an illusion. Because the reality is that loss is going to happen to us in life. It really, really is. And it's unfortunate that we live in a society where, you know, when loss happens, the first reaction is, well, it's your fault and you're on your own to figure it out. But we really think that, you know, having insurance will keep us safe, and in that way, if we have insurance, then we can take some risk, right? Then I can buy the house. Then I can buy the condo. Then I can send my child to college. Then I can allow myself to get sick, right? But the reality is that even with insurance, the loss is going to happen. The loss is going to happen. And so I just point that out to let you know that real risk-taking, and the kind of risk-taking I'm talking about for deep change, is that you don't have any insurance. There's no insurance. So, for example, when these five chiefs come to Korchak to say, carve this mountain, there's no way they can know whether or not he can do it and that it really can happen. And when Korchak says yes to taking on this project at that time, because he didn't have no children, he wasn't even married, there's no way he could have known, you know, that here in 2017 that, you know, his work would be, the legacy of his work would be continuing, his family would be making it happen. So risk-taking means that we don't know. We have to step into this void. We have to allow ourselves to be on the wire. That's a really great movie about risk-taking. I think that really shows and demonstrates to the nth degree what I'm talking about. And it's about John Petit, who was the wire artist, tightrope wire I'm talking about, and who tightropes across the World Trade Towers back in the 70s. Check it out. It's an amazing scene of him doing that. Taking this risk without insurance for the things that you want to achieve in your life, the things that you want to experience in your life, the things you want to have, the things you want to do, and most importantly, the who you want to be in life. You've got to take a risk in order for that to happen. And you know what's really interesting? It's like in the example I gave you with Crazy Horse and the memorial, the risk comes to us. It comes knocking. It comes knocking, just like those chiefs showed up for Korchak. And let me tell you, all this guy knew in life is that he wanted to sculpt. And so, you know, he'd been working in bronze and stuff. And again, when the Mount Rushmore thing came up, he was like, oh, yeah, man, I'm all into this, you know. And that's how he was learning his trade. But it came knocking to him because it's what he wanted. So that deep desire that you have, the something that you want to experience or do or be, and most importantly, it's about being. Because if you can be something, you can then have and do what's going to support that. It will come knocking to you. And if we're not conscious enough about the importance of risk-taking, when the knocking comes, you won't answer the door. You won't pick up the phone. You won't open that letter. You know, you won't have that conversation. You can miss it.
But let me tell you about the universe, though. It loves us so much that it will come back again. But wouldn't it be nice the first time it comes knocking that you can say yes, like Korjak did, that without knowing the outcome, without understanding even why you're being asked, that you can say yes. Because something in you knows, yes, this is in alignment with the truth of who you are. Wow. That's some deep stuff. That's some deep stuff right there. And exciting. Think about how exciting that is. Because, you know, what we've done, too, in this culture, we tell you that you've got to have the right degree. You've got to know the right people. You've got to look right. You know, this is a culture, too, where race matters. So sometimes you've got to be the right color in order to be able to get to what it is you want to do. You got to be the right weight. You got to be the right height. You got to come from the right family. That's another one. You got to know the right things, you know. So there's usually like all these conditions that can be put out there for us. And if you go down the list of 10, by number 5, you usually say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that'll never happen for me. Like, there's no way Korjak could have known or even imagined that those 5 chiefs were going to come to him and ask him to do this memorial. There's just no way. All he knew was he had to sculpt and that he wanted to do something important. So whatever these desires are inside of us, we don't have to figure it out. We don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. We just have to be really clear that we can have it. And so here's my personal challenge for you, because I think that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in, can I really have it? Am I worthy? Am I right? Am I right for it? Whatever it is that you are dreaming of doing, having, or becoming, I want you to think about what is it that's blocking you. Is it that list of conditions that I talked about? Is it that you don't have any cheerleaders in your life or enough cheerleaders? Is it that you're afraid of losing someone or some situation if you go after your dream? You know, what is it that's blocking you? Maybe you don't even know what's blocking you, but I'm sure a lot of you out there, you know what it is. You don't even want to talk about it, but I know you know what it is. So my challenge to you is write it down, both the dream and what is blocking you. And again, if you don't know what's blocking you, leave that space blank, but just acknowledge that there's something blocking you. And for 40 days, every morning and every night, I want you to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm ready to let go and let come. And just for extra measure, put a 3 thank yous onto that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So very simple, but very powerful. You have to do it 40 days in a row. So if you miss one day, you got to start over again. That's just how it works. But you guys, for 40 days, I'm ready to let go and let come. And there is no insurance in doing this work. But I can tell you, thing is going to shift as a result of it. I promise you that. And it is a risk. You're taking a risk. You can't know for 40 days of saying, I'm ready to let go and let come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If what it is that you're looking for is going to show up. But something's going to show up. And it will be something that will get you to where you're going. But you got to be willing to take the risk. Wow. Let me tell you, this is some good stuff, because you know, the big message to me from all them hurricanes, and there's one that got my name in it, Maria, the big message that I'm getting is y'all got to change. You got to change. And, of course, there are people who have been put in a position where they have no choice because everything they owned is gone. And people in Houston, with the flooding there, there's people in Florida, and I'm sure other places, of course, across the Caribbean, St. Martin, St. Thomas, St. John's, Barruda, you know, all of these places, there are people who have lost everything. And so they have to change. There is change that is going on for them. Many of us didn't have to go through that. We didn't have to go through that degree of loss. But definitely we can honor what is happening in this world right now by saying, yes, I've got to change. There's something that has to change in me, for me, with me, through me. Some deep change has to go on, and I'm willing to take the risk. Wow. So, in closing, I want to first put a shout-out to my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, the Vice President of Black Hole Radio, and thank her so much for taking out the good time that she does to keep my broadcast going. And to the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family, thank you, thank you, thank you for holding the vision and taking the risk, taking the big risk, around this vision of making this information available. I'm so grateful. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners, to Miss Sarah, one of my great cheerleaders who listens to my show on a regular basis. I just love you, Sarah. I hope you're listening right now, but I know you'll listen to the archive and get that love message. To all of those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, Asu and Ina, love you much. And to those who are listening in for the first time, and, of course, my audience here in Milwaukee, Ms. Carmen and Cheryl, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. There are two more Carmens that also are cheerleaders and support my show, and so I want to thank Carmen in Madison and Carmen in Arizona for all the wonderful support you give me. Fire Sisters, you rock. Next week, I will do my only broadcast on the September theme of living on purpose, because that's what deep change can bring to us. That's one of the major fruits of deep change. We get to really, really experience what living on purpose is about, like Mr. Korchak, sculpting away on Crazy Horse. And so this program will be called Welcome to the Fifth Dimension. And you'll find this most informative and inspiring because it does concern information about the eclipse that we just went through in August. Please check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. You can find archive links by looking at the events, clicking on the events place. On there, they should be listed. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous fire week. Call on that forgiveness, grace, and remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.